Now recording.
That was beautiful, okay.
Now recording.
Welcome to the season one recap, where we're just gonna sit around and bitch about how awful I am.
Yep.
Oh, buckle up, boy. This is gonna get heavy.
It's a little eerie how accurate that is, because you're bloodthirsty, like 90% of the time.
I gotta say,
we have to play smart or we're dead.
Yeah, like, just a little bit of, like, DM backstory on me. Acquisitions Incorporated, if anyone listened to that podcast, I don't know anyone here. They were, like, the OG D&D podcast. They started back in, like, 2007. And the principal game designer, Chris Perkins, runs their game for... So he works at Wizards of the Coast.
No, I do know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like my all-time favorite dungeon master, and he is fucking bloodthirsty. Like, that man is deadly. So I'm just like
noticing falling, a theme here.
Yeah. Just following in old Perkins' footsteps.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm the DM that casts counterspell on healing spells.
Oh,
I've never thought of that. That's brilliant.
That's fucked up. What?
That's so good.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
If I'm the bad guy, why would I just let you heal your friends?
Yeah.
That's just really fucking smart. Arrogant thing. Like, you can restore your health all you like. It's not going to make a difference.
I've also given my party, like, as the BBEG, given the party a diamond powerful enough for true resurrection and the spell on a scroll. I've been like, go ahead, pick one.
That's such a power play. Oh my god.
Yeesh.
I'm just emotionally fried, so. somebody else can, what do you call that? Mediate?
Host? Start talking?
Yeah, host? Yeah.
Facilitate, I believe, is what you're looking for.
There we go.
Chris knows words. He can facilitate this.
Of course. So, with all that said, still processing a lot with regards to, let's call it what it is, failures. That would be. Listen, it could be viewed as the end all be all, or it could be a stepping off point for season two. Who knows? Right? You do not truly have growth and whatnot without adversity.
Oh, hell yeah.
I guess one of the easiest questions, I guess from start to finish, what was your initial thought of, like, oh, this is where I want my character to go, and what surprised you as we kind of went along the way? Because I know we all had a bunch of different character concepts, and, you know, it's Dungeons & Dragons, and we all, oh, I'm going to play this. So why did you settle on initially what you settled on? And I guess we can kind of, if there are a little additional backstory things you can go into, now would be the time.
Yeah, I'm actually quite curious about Valorous on that end. On that,
yeah.
Front.
Oh, so goddammit.
How about we go down the line, kind of like what your inspiration, what your thoughts were for your character, and what differed from obviously like episode one to episode titled "We 48. Fucked It Up." Like, yeah,
yeah, 48.
Episode 48, yeah.
So Kyle,
I guess from an inspirational standpoint, I enjoy playing the class of monk a great deal, but Mr. Quentin tantalized me with the option of the Elemenzen race, where I'm like, oh, I can basically play Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm in. But from a backstory standpoint, I really love the idea of kind of the trope of like a dysfunctional family, and the easiest way to survive is, well, to survive you need money, and the easiest way for that is just e-commerce. And from like a fun side of things, you can get into import export, aka stealing stuff, or acquisition, as Valorous would
procuring.
Say it's such a good, like, it's such a harsh word,
you know? Well, I mean, and Valorous did do some, well, I don't know, we kind of very loosely talked about how Faye and Valorous met. Faye, as a healer, when she, during her time, needed very rare and probably dangerous to acquire herbs, right? And that's, you know, through the grapevine herd of this valorous Oshal who could procure such tricky items, and that's how they met, really. So honest work, sort of.
Steady clientele.
kinda.
He would never really be concerned with the end result of whatever he procured for his clientele is. That's not his business. He could not give two shits about it. Mm-hmm. You're gonna use this for nefarious purposes? All right, that's cool. Give me my gold. Have a nice day. We never interacted.
So, I suppose a follow-up question to that, knowing a little bit about your backstory. The choice to be nobility, and the you're relatively younger, all things considered. Do you think that the desire to go into this lifestyle was born out of wanting to forge something for himself outside of his own name, or literally due to act of rebellion and, oh shit, I'm good at this?
Option two.
Yeah.
Definitely wanting to get away, but the easiest way to make a lot of those problems go away is just throw money at it. Mm-hmm. Where it's, oh, wait, I know who you are. Sack of gold. No, you don't. You don't know who I am. I am nobody.
Shut up. Yeah. I gotta get
go
better
away
at sneaking.
Or I will make you go away.
Gotcha.
He values his privacy a great deal, but I guess from episode 1 to episode 48 of episode 1, he cares for Faye as much as one can as like a travel companion, but ultimately his self-survival was paramount. He would never lay on the grenade or lay on the wire for somebody else. That is just not who he is down to a core. To now, he cares about, like, I'd say three people. Now it's gone from zero to three. It doesn't apply to the whole guild. I'll tell you that right now. There's favorites.
Ooh, so who's on the list then, huh? Willow.
It's got to be Willow and Faye, right?
Well, like Faye, Willow, and at times Nordum. He definitely has his moments, but the moment he messed with his contract, he's still in his shit book. And then he uses it. You motherfucker.
Fucking hypocrite.
So when you take people into the void, you're saving people's lives, but when I do it, I'm kidnapping.
Well, you know, it kind of was.
Faye, I'm just going to go down the line and we'll get through everyone. Kirsten, yeah.
Yeah. Similar to Kyle, I really enjoy playing a cleric. The last cleric I played was at the time it was Unearth Arcana stuff, so it was a lot of playtesting and figuring out, which I thought she was very easy to work with. But I enjoy playing a cleric. Not that I'm a religious person, I'm not, but I enjoy just the class itself. But I wanted something that was a little more than just your run of the mill healer. Right, hence why I chose the Grave Domain. It was that or the Death Domain cleric, but Grave Domain just felt a little bit more right, especially with the caretaker, where she's the circle of life, and Faye, as we've sort of explored, has had a lot of tragedy in her life, and the caretaker is a power rather than a god. Faye has zero care for gods. She really doesn't like them, doesn't care for them, wishes that they weren't a thing, because, you know, there's all this pain and suffering and, you know, evil in the world, and if gods exist, which we know that they do, but you know, they peaced out, right? And you know, they abandoned their people, so she doesn't feel like there's any credibility to them. But the caretaker was the only one who reached out to her when she thought she was losing her mind. So the relationship between her and the caretaker started off really rocky, because now all of a sudden she's been this chosen like avatar, basically chosen person to be the caretaker. on the material plane, but, you know, was grateful that she had for once peace and quiet from the spirits that were haunting her and demanding so much from her.
Gotcha. Difference between episode one and now. What is something that like surprised you about phase growth?
I feel like she's become tougher.
Tougher? Really? You think so? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a hard time playing like tough, moody characters. I'm just such a bubbly person that it's hard to get into that mind frame sometimes. I do think she's more willing to take the I don't want to say the easy way, but like the harder choice in the sense that, you know, it's easy to attempt to, I don't know, interrogate someone, but like she's more willing to just cut things short on a life, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
So versus where beforehand she wanted to be that shepherd. She wanted to guide those people on. And now, especially now that she's betrayed her god, her patron, whatever you want to call the caretaker, who knows what the hell is going to happen. She was tasked to stop this and didn't. So.
And now you have a new master in the form of a redheaded vampire.
And I have a new master. I have a new best friend.
Vampire mommy.
Yay.
That's what everyone wants.
Yeah.
I already have a colossal like backstory into this whole family of vampires. Okay. Her brother is in the second book who Ven meets.
Oh, yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Yep.
Well, that's lovely. Oh. Can't wait.
Yeah, Quinn was like, you want to meet next season's BBBE? And I'm like, sure. And then all of a sudden she shows up in this season. God damn it.
Damn it. Was she the vampire from Perdition Island?
No.
No? Okay.
She's the leader of that vampire, I'm assuming. Yeah.
There's more than one vampire in Tator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's like generally like the I don't know, like vampire lore. It's generally like a very like family oriented like hierarchy of things. Like where does she rank in that hierarchy?
Yeah, I get you.
Should be determined.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess long story short,
Fuck up Kyle.
Yes. I do think Faye has definitely hardened significantly. She still does have her soft spots for her family, you know, the Red Willow Guild and to Wynn, even though she's still not sure how their relationship is. Anyone outside, she's not gonna give two shits about. And she's a vampire spawn now, so that's going to change a whole dynamic. I already got plans.
There you go.
Fuck yeah.
Wow, already has plans. I love it.
Yeah. Ritual cast darkness all the time. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Cool. Kadensky.
Hey, hey.
Of the Chadwick.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. I know we talked a bit about corpse... the episode that he died. I think this was probably my favorite character. This is the fourth D&D campaign I've ever been in my life, been a part of. And yeah, this has been probably my favorite character. Initially, what I sought out to create was a character that didn't have the traditional backstories that you would typically expect. Like, especially a lot of my other characters either came from affluent families or they were royalty and they kind of come back into that. I wanted to create a character that really came from nothing. And the backstory that I had for Corpse Paint was he was born to young parents. Don't know who the father is. The mother left him to die in the forest as an infant and then... couple Kintar berserkers took them back to the camp and he basically grew up in orphanages and on the streets and everything. He didn't have a name and he didn't actually get his name until he became a berserker and became Corpse Paint. Then after that he joined the Templars, right? because in Kintar tradition, you have a first name, but then you're given your last name. So the only name he had was Corpse Paint. And I know Chris and I had the idea to play with the dynamic of two species that did not like each other.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, we just had that sort of starting point, and I feel with all the characters that I played, I just have a little baseline to go from, and then allow the character to develop as the game goes on in real time. And I didn't expect it to go the way that it did. starting off very cold and reserved and actually opening up and becoming more human and becoming more noble was actually very heartwarming for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and especially the relationship with Ember there, and actually getting to question the dynamics of like, oh, why do our people hate each other? And
yeah, that was cool.
Really putting that into the world, I think, was very beautiful. And as far as Brahm is concerned, he was, as you guys know, a character that I've had for a while, just kind of a basic Lancelot type character that you can pull out and have fun with. But actually to integrate him and give him a little bit more maturity, a little bit more.
Just a pinch more.
Yeah, was great. And I do intend to use him for the second season. I don't know how often I will be a part of it, but at least he will kind of be there in the background to come in every now and then.
He's such a fun character.
Oh, yeah.
Just on-call, brooding smolder look whenever we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Brahm's very jovial. He's not really brooding. What's that?
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, Kirsten, you said that you're very naturally bubbly, so, you know, it's hard for you to play, like, tougher, edgier characters, where the opposite is true for me. I find, like, playing dark and mysterious and edgy and brooding is easy for me. It's actually more of a challenge to be somebody like Brahm, who's just very extroverted and happy, you know?
That's true.
That doesn't mean to say that I'm not happy, but...
Yeah, you could just slip into that a little bit more. Hence the, like, for those who haven't kind of figured it out, we've obviously, a majority of us have worked on films together. I was always behind the scenes. I'm not a good actor. I can't lie, we're shit. So I can't slip into a character very well sometimes. I think I can do like sassy and I can do bubbly, and that's about it.
Kyle, big nods.
Big yes on the sass.
Big yes.
Honestly, that's one of, like, I feel like the most common challenges for D&D is, like, I struggle with that too. I've always just wanted to be like the cheeky smartass in the group. I have a hard time like committing to a typical character arc.
That's fair.
I do have a question for Caden though.
Yeah.
And maybe for the rest of the party too. Did Corpse Paint or did Caden pick up on any of the fact that Faye was sweet on Corpse Paint?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
A little bit. Oh, like, sure. in a romantic way?
Yeah, maybe.
My mom said that the other night. She was like, I really thought Faye and Corpse were going to get together.
I was... Oh, man, there were little... there were little moments of it, for sure. Mm-hmm. There were moments where I was like, oh, yeah.
Available.
I thought because just Faye just naturally is a nurturing character. I guess I'm just not good at reading signals.
And you know what? She hasn't flirted in a long time either, so she was trying to, you know.
Yeah, and that's interesting for a character who you didn't even know what their face looked like until well into the season.
It wasn't the face. It was your... She did see your changes since, threatening of like, hey, you're being an asshole, I will watch your back, to no, he's willing, and you just defied your Arch Templar to stick by our friends. So she did see that, and it was just, anyways, I was just curious because
there were parts where I was thinking just like, would that be an interesting direction? I think if you were to stay alive, I think that's probably would have happened, but that wasn't even... Like, romance, it wasn't really something that I was considering for Corpse Pain, even.
Yeah. And to be honest, not for with Faye either. She felt that she had her chance. She had her time with Love, and then that was taken away from her. So she.
We haven't really gotten too deep into the whole Faye's marriage night.
No.
Wedding night.
Don't worry. That's season two now that she's a vampire spawn.
Yeah.
Steaming along. Newt.
God damn it.
Newt.
Why do you think
we can't God damn skip it.
Our illustrious commander.
Hello, commander.
Norden is probably the least amount of planning I've ever done for a character. I think it was like a day or two before we started the podcast, just threw them together. And Quinn was like, what's his backstory? No family, no kids, just was a soldier.
Living the bachelor life. Some sort of
wanted to get away from war and all that, and just wanted to become a blacksmith. I'm like, all
right. And I was like, fuck you. Yeah. I'm throwing you right back into that war.
The fuck you are.
yeah,
pretty
retiring.
Much like the whole backstory. Like, I never planned on being like anything to do with the Silver Rock Drawers, didn't even know who they were. Mm. And all of a sudden, Quinn's just throwing that stuff at me. And I'm like, okay, I'll just roll with it.
I think it was more than that. Like, we workshopped it over at least a week. We were throwing ideas back and forth about. You know, how could we tie you into the Silver Rock Dwarves type deal?
Yeah.
And then you had the idea of being a commander.
I guess, yeah.
The new thing is very light making conversation and you're just actively scheming away the whole time.
Don't let Canute fool you. He loves to make these stories.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, I don't know, very just rolling with it kind of with this character.
So in saying that, going a very laissez-faire approach, let's just see what happens. What is something that caught you off guard
with becoming the leader of the Red Will Guild?
Okay.
I was expecting, you know, just be a nice nonchalant background, you know, just chumming along with everyone, then all of a sudden get thrown into the freaking driver's seat and having to corral all you freaking chickens or herd of cats, basically.
I prefer spider
getting
monkey,
kidnapped,
thank you.
Running away to three gates and all this other bullshit, you know? You know, we all got to keep on track now. That was definitely my most surprising thing.
Nordum's definitely grown a few gray hairs since then.
Pulling out five chunks of hair.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were we going to say, Q?
Oh, when Beric was dying, did he like specifically say, Norden, you have to be the guildmaster?
He said you gotta carry them. Or something like that.
I think he said, something about like you have to take charge of the guild or something like that.
Right.
We're diving into a notebook to find the exact detail.
Because we could just listen to the episode, but I still remember thinking, like, these guys, like, I would love a section where these guys, like, put it to a vote, like, who would be the guild master.
Mm.
And I don't know if, like, I worded it so that it sounded like, Norden, you have to do it, or if it was, like, you knew the guild pretty well because of Thrawn anyways.
Yeah.
That it just kind of naturally you filled the boots or what? But
I think it was more of that. Just Talon? Like,
I would say as a viewer, it sounded like you. He was like, Norden, lead this guild. These are idiots.
I mean, I don't know who else could actually, to be honest, no one else I don't think could actually lead the Red Willow Guild other than you.
I feel like Valoris could. If he took out his selfishness.
Took the stick out of his butt?
Yeah, I mean, but that's like two-thirds of his identity.
Yeah.
He's lining his own pockets.
Here's the quote.
Valoris just didn't care.
Found the quote. I won't be walking out of here. I have failed my guild. Nordum, please don't give up on the Red Willow Guild. So, I mean, we kind of just took a big, hefty chunk of interpretation out of that.
I honestly think it was like Nordum just kind of fit the boots.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Commander.
His iron filled
command. Yeah, prior commander. Who better?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Command that guild, baby. Love
and
it.
To be fair, his character is really like grown to fit that position too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've done a great job.
You have.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
It is a lot of trial and error, a lot of error, but
a lot of cat wrangling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I get oh well, I guess we got to do Chris.
Yeah,
we got to do Devin first. Come on.
Yeah. What about Ember and Aiden?
What about Devin?
I was in 5 episodes, bro. I was trying to go first.
Okay. Whoop! Ember and Beth waves, of course.
His voice.
His voice and Beth waves.
So,
based on previous characters that I've played, I wanted to play someone younger with a little bit more naivete. Kind of hard to do with a wisdom-based spellcaster, which is kind of funny. I also wanted to play something a little more complex, hence the druid aspect. And you know, when me and Caden were chatting about backstories, I'm like, yeah, okay, we grew up and then we started developing this, like, well, what if it was two opposing races? And like, okay, so how would we come about this? And we came up with the idea of like, something went wrong with one of his trials and I happened to cross him and healed him. And I went, what circumstances would have led from my own past to do this aspect of like, I don't care who you are, I want to help you, because I don't, like, I saw that in myself at some point and I don't want that to happen to other people. And so that's where the whole backstory of the parents and getting involved with Sarenstrom and the Trial of the Twilight and all that other fun, negative kind of Witcher shit in the void reaching through, which is how he got his eye and his fucked up left hand, would send him along his way at that point. Mom and dad went absent, abandoned him, and he's like, well, I don't ever want people to feel abandoned again. And I may be little, but there are things that I can do in life that can help. And truly, he came to realize, even at the young age, like, it doesn't take big acts of service to make big changes for people. It's the small things. And so that's where that whole character concept came from, of do what you can. Not because it's easy, not because you have to, but because you're choosing to do so, and because a smile or a kind word or something could be the difference in someone's day. And so, yeah, and then we developed the Kintard and Keast relationship background idea, and I don't know where we had the idea that he was this great investigator and stuff like that when he really wasn't, but, you know, he wanted to make that, bring that, you know, just self-brought navigational tool, as it were. I mean, initially I was like, well, druid as a rogue is really simple because I can be a spider and listen in for information. So,
yeah. I feel like the investigator, like, just fit well with that whole arc and role.
It did. It fit with the group. It fit with both, like, me being able to get us excuse me, contracts and stuff, and Corpse would be the one to do a lot of the action of them, but, you know, I love the idea that he was this, like, fake charismatic, like, he was super chatty, but he was also super young and just kind of, like, tripped over himself a lot of the time because his charisma was an 8. So playing a character that's a little against what your strength or your weaknesses are supposed to be, but playing with them as, like, forefront, that was super fun to do. And then And then he died.
and then he, you know.
And then that was the end.
Turned to rubble.
The permanap.
Oh. That was such a shark wave.
That's not wise enough.
Or taxi waves, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That was and the first true PC death on my hands.
Yeah.
That blood has not come off my hands yet. It just
washed. That was a rough one. I was like, oh, this is petrification. Oh, this thing. Oh, okay, here we go.
and then it ate you to gain health.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, those, okay, of all the things, those Stilengas are messed up, man. There's a lot of creatures in this world that are fucking crazy. That one's nope. Big nope.
Yeah, big nope. Yeah, and then Aiden, after the death, I wanted something someone a little more playful, same level of not super wise at that point. But initially it was just, Bard made sense. They were heading to Three Gates. It was the support role. I wasn't going to be super in action. And I didn't send you to, like, compared to the normal backstories that I do.
Yeah.
I didn't send you too much for Aiden.
No, yeah. It was real crisp, clean.
Yeah.
None of that filth you usually send me. God.
Yeah, not the... yeah.
Yeah, how many pages?
25 pages later.
Yeah. Oh, legitimately, like, the normal stuff I send to my DMs, I do apologize because they're like, I want you to get invested in your character. And I'm like, yeah, your move. but no, Aiden was... I love the idea of a fast talking bard who obviously had a little bit of a shadier past and, you know, a little more cowardly, especially on the forefront of things, was completely running from everything. And it would make sense to be like, oh, you're going where? I'll join you. I'll be your herald. Sounds great. Let's go.
It's like the best part of any bard is just they're like, they just don't think about how eager they are. And it gets them into the most awesome kinds of trouble every time.
Absolutely.
They just want it too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. His growth from the Three Gates until now, he definitely cares a lot more about the group. These are people that, you know, quote unquote, found family versus what he had prior.
Especially Nordum.
Of course. I've had to dive your ass out of the sky twice now. Like,
yeah, well, I saved you from the crumbling depths, so.
I cannot believe that Nordum didn't do enough damage to cut your head off, Aiden. Was he close?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it was when the other dude took a swing as we, like, went into the void, it didn't matter what number you told me.
Fuck.
Yeah. I was like, his whatever his modifier is, I'm done zos anyway. So when Nordum was like, oh yeah, I'll just give you 25 on lay of hands, I was like, thank God, because like I'm also as a player not one to be like, oh, you notice me go down, because we're mid combat. Yeah. You're not going to notice that. You're going to be swinging and like, oh yeah, he's probably rolling out of the way or something like that, or yada yada yada. So you're like, yeah, we go into the void, I'll just tap Aiden. And I was like, thank fucking Christ.
Well, here I am down south. I'm looking at your facial expressions. No one's asking how Aiden's doing, and your face looks grim. I'm like, oh my God, he is going down, or he's already down. He hasn't said anything.
I knew, chicken.
I also knew I just couldn't do anything because I'm fucking under the gem.
I rolled my death saving throw and it was a 2. Just like Talon. So I was like, okay. Hopefully he notices in the next 6 seconds.
It's more fun when we don't know what the death saving throws are. Just like, roll it. For okay, sure. I did it.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? All right. I rolled it.
Yeah. It's a lot more fun.
Favorite moment in season one?
Well, I mean, that's got to go to you first. You haven't answered anything yet, Q.
Yeah, but I just did all this hard work.
I just did all this. I'm tired. I quit. I'm
You've
on
been
my break.
Sipping that Red Bull. You don't get to be tired.
So true. It's really tough. I just love any time in Red Willow. I love having like a base of operations and like a place you guys get to call home.
Somewhere where we can relax, be carefree.
Yeah. And weird. Like the biggest problems is like the ghost in your attic. You know? And like
yeah, she's fine. She only pranked one of us. And, like,
you're trying to deal with like
what?
A world altering event in the middle of this ruptured range. And like your biggest problem in Red Willow is this petty fuck ass mayor. Who just wants more money. Like I just like the contrast of that.
That's fair.
So what's, just anything Red Willow, really.
What is something that we didn't get to experience that you had planned for? That you were like, oh, I built up a session just in case they decide to go this direction. It doesn't have to be like a full concrete concept, but something that you were like,
yeah.
Oh, if they follow this contract, or do you have any of those like particulars that you're like, fuck, I was super jazzed about this. And
you guys, no, I usually just have a way to like work in what I wanted to do with your guys' plans anyways. Okay. I mean, like this season finale, you didn't even make it to the third lever room.
Yeah.
No.
No.
So like I almost, you passed it. It was the big bridge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Down in the bottom.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, so I can take you guys.
When you said he's guarding something?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I'll turn off the thing. But yeah, I mean, no, I just like to see where you guys take it, and then I go with that, really, right? So, oh.
Wow.
Yeesh.
Yeah, so this was the whole map.
Oh, God, that right room would have been death. What the hell?
Oh, look, there's a Nordum.
Yeah, I moved over there.
These are all Dresden guards. What?
Yeah, like 4 Dresden and 2 wizards.
All of and which so the idea was that
you could just like sleight of hand disarm all of the levers and then they all would have been broken.
Well, that would have been nice.
Well, I mean, I did have that idea to just break at least one of them, but you know, when there's other things going on.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Now, I said this before we started recording this. I had half the note. I was playing with the idea of banishing either Harazoon or the wizard, and I chose to inflict wounds the guard instead. Big mistake.
Best intentions. Best intentions.
Yeah.
Q, your question was favorite moment?
Yeah, just for each of you guys. Doesn't have to be your character, just you as players. What about, we'll start with Talon.
Yeah.
Devin Hayes.
My genuine favorite moment is when Corpse sides with the Red Willow Guild.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I think that was such a turning point for him, his character in general, and then like the story altogether. I think that was top-notch storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the first time where we actually clicked as a guild, right? It just fell into place.
Yeah, well, exactly. Probably, yeah. Everything up until then, you guys were very disjointed. You guys just got, like, for example, you guys got murked in that one underground thing with the undead people.
Yeah.
And you got murked helping the Red Villa Guild.
Yeah.
And you got, like, nothing was going for you guys until that moment, and then that's when admittedly Faye gets kidnapped, but
yeah,
you know, the resulted in someone, she's killing someone on her list, so you know.
Yeah
that's like when it like that was like step one towards, oh, they can actually work together and figure it out.
Honestly, yeah, I can't think of like one favorite moment. You guys just like every episode has got something amazing to go with it.
I really like the barrel racing.
On, I'm like, yeah, oh, right? So God. Fun.
I want to talk about it.
It was just great to see Valorous eat shit for that, something that should have totally gone his way.
I don't think I rolled above a 5 that entire session. Like, it was so infuriating. Yeah. I was so mad.
I had so much shit ready to fuck with your barrel. And you just kept bombing it. I'm like, well, all right, fuck.
It wouldn't even be fair at this point. Kaden.
Like you said, there's so many, and yeah. it was truly great. Like, especially reflecting back, I listened to the recap that was posted earlier today on the Instagram, and actually listening back to that, I'm like, holy shit, it's been an epic journey. It's hard to sort of see that arc when you're playing through it as it's happening, but looking back, it's like, wow, what a tale. But one little moment that stuck out to me, and it was so funny, Knut, in the very first episode, I think Ember is looking for Corpse and comes rushing in, just like, oh, where's the guy with the mask, like this big metal man, and then your response was just, who? Like, first, I don't know, just like first episode one Nordum is just different than Nordum for like the rest of the the show, and it's just that whole episode, you were on fire with your one-liners. It was so funny. Yeah,
that was a different Nordum, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Nordum, what's your favorite?
It's tough to say too. Probably one of my favorite Norm parts is like just after the Templars came and we just had to merc them. We're all just feeling like absolute shit, just lost Faye, just down in the dumps. And then all of a sudden the Adagi Guild just comes bursting in. And they were like kind of like being demanding, kind of being like, we're fucking here, you better be. And then Nordum just like kind of snapped and he's like, you know what? I'm sick of this. I just had another guild come in. We fucked them up. I'll do the same to you if you don't fucking sit down and listen to me in my own goddamn house.
Yeah. I forgot about that. That is a good moment for sure.
Yeah. Norm was just sick of everything and he was just tired and he just like laying down his own law. It's when he kind of like first got like, you know, he's got a fucking lead a little bit. Gotta get like his own authority in this place, especially if he's gonna run it. You know,
you're the guild master, right? You don't want everyone stepping on you because
and you it's like, get shit done. Dude, you're coming to us for help. We can just say no. We can say fuck off. We don't have to.
And like before that, Nordum was kind of more like, yeah, no, I don't want to step on any toes. I want to be nice to everyone. But then just that, he just like, no, okay. It's enough of what everyone else wants. It's what I want.
Is this in our best interest? No. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I also love it when Nordum just really wanted to like serve a nice dinner for everybody. Mm-hmm. And you guys are all like sitting around the table and Nordum's so happy about this family dinner and then it just turns
everyone
into
just
a
leaves.
Huge yeah.
Everyone gets
I forgot
mad
all about that. Like... No. That's such Norm a sad just... visual. Just like the happy one just sitting at the table and just everyone's gone. Yeah. Food untouched.
Kicking his feet under the table, just so excited, and everyone gets up and leaves.
Yeah. So Norm's just like trying to bring us all closer together as a guild, and we're all just tearing each other apart. I'm like, oh, god damn
it. You made everyone those nice knives with the Willow Guild signet on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You owe Faye another one.
But those are gone now.
Some of them have them.
I mean, Corpse is gone. Oh, I guess he technically still has it. Embers is definitely gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Ember was like our carrying bag for all our fucking good items and then just disappeared. God damn.
That monocle. Monocle is so powerful.
We also had the knife of immobility, I think it was.
Yeah, the immovable just the immovable dagger or something.
Yeah. Which could have came in very useful so many times.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like giving it to a fucking door.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. God, I love that door.
God, I hate that door.
What's a door?
Yeah.
Doing great.
Doing great.
Doing great.
Sorry, one more moment I'll like to share is just when, I think it was the same episode actually. Where we all sat upstairs with the Adagi Guild, and it was me and Valoris. And Valoris just like did a sly little comment, and Nordum was like, I hate you. I hate you.
Yep. It was like, it was like zero filter, zero hesitation. Yeah. Like it was like a pure instinctual reaction.
Because it was just that very tired Nordum just after a fight. These other guilds are just coming in, trying to run over everyone. It's just like, and like, God damn it.
Ember and Corpse just abandoned you, and Faye is missing. It's just you two left to hold down the fort.
Yeah,
the worst person for Nordon to be left with, someone who's just an active shit to start by pushing his buttons at all hours of the fucking day.
Anything else?
Was there any? I know. So we know in the first book that this happens, right? Yeah. Like, was there any chance that we could have won this season finale or no? Yeah, that's what I thought. You're just, the dice like to tell a story sometimes. Maybe we could have succeeded. We rolled a lot of that this episode, actually, so.
It was really just like damage control, you know?
Yeah,
how many people could not die for this to happen?
Pretty much, yeah.
Everyone dies.
Yeah.
We start pretty much like 2,000 years in the future where life has grown again.
Like everything before this and everything after this, like, is a blank canvas, really. Like, it's just the Quake of Harazoon is the only thing that is like really recorded in the books.
What is everyone most looking forward to for season 2?
Yeah. That I can start with. Devin, you got something?
I'm returning as a entirely different being. So there's that. I'm looking forward to that.
But I'm definitely most excited to just see everyone's character arcs. Just getting to the end of those character arcs that we've laid out is going to be really cool. Especially Valoris's, I think.
Yeah, we didn't touch a whole lot on Valoris. Like, we met Olmen Arno, and we met the great-grandfather monk corpse skeleton.
As a viewer, you get some more in that sense. Like, did Valoris end up sharing that guy was like his grandpa? Or like could be related to him, rather?
Nordum was a part of that vision as well. So yeah. Valoris and Nordum kind of dug into that a little bit, but he did not disclose the contents of that letter to anybody that he received at Red Willow. Because there was no real pertinent time to like, hey, by the way, I have kind of internal family struggles. The world's about to end. I'm gonna go. Bye.
Bye.
It's really
he doesn't
like,
even know what he wants to do with it.
Like, yeah, it's planting those seeds right in the first season to touch on again in the second season.
Norm is excited to get to call Valoris royalty a little bit more.
Yeah, Valoris really dug into like, hey, commander, like he really dug that knife. You can definitely twist that into Valoris now.
Yeah, no, he's not expecting anyone to get dirt on him. That's his whole thing. It's all about privacy. So there's been a breach in his protocol, so you know it's gonna be an unexpected blow.
Yeah, nice couple breaches too, you know? At Three Gates, the Vision. Norm got a couple sneak peeks into your life.
No. I have two questions. First off, I know we've asked this a few times, but now that we're at the end of the season, how far are we picking up in season 2? Like right after or a little later or
really depends up to you guys. I don't think we'd pick up much more than like a month, maybe 2 months ahead.
Mm-hmm. Question 2, what the heck was Aelendir's deal with watching me get bit?
So
I don't like him now. I liked him. I love hate him because he's such a smarmy asshole, but now I really don't like him because he just watched it. And Faye's gonna remember that.
Aelendir is like one of the main characters in the third book, and like I just can't tell you. But he is just, he's here for a long time and a good time.
He gives off that vibe of a guy that's just like, if it doesn't fuck with me, I don't give a fuck. Like, I will watch you do whatever, and then if you come at me, now we have a problem. But if you're gonna bite this lady and turn her into a vampire, I don't give a shit.
And like, he's just curious. He just wants to see. Like, he just wants to
see what would happen.
List. Yeah.
Well, and Valerius's whole like very impromptu business pitch to him was preventing that event from happening. It happened. Mm-hmm. He fulfilled his end of the contract, and apologies, Nordum, it's gonna cost you a lot.
As soon as he finds out about Faye, he's not paying the dime.
You don't pay for a contract that was
failed.
That's
if you find out about Faye.
Oh, I'm sure Willow will spill the beans very quickly.
Well, probably.
Also, I think Aelendu is very much the type of person that will just back whatever horse is winning.
Yeah.
So if he all of a sudden sees we're winning, he'll be all for us. If he all of a sudden...
100%.
Does he still have turn? A horn?
Yep, nope. He's going over that. Or... We don't know.
That's
far. We don't know. Sorry, we won't know. Season 2. That's a season 2 thing.
Yeah. Certainly don't have
it's
a gem.
It's crazy that... Were we always going to lose the gem? For instance, if that gem was on me and she rolled that, I would have known.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Is like I was, it was between Faye and Nordum were the only two people who, for whatever reason, ever kept it.
Yeah.
And like I 100% had it like written down in my notes that because I thought Faye had the void of the amulet of the void, that she had stolen that from Faye. But then you said you had it, so I was like, okay, well Nordum can just keep it. But yeah, it was like, well, Nordum and Faye are carrying it. There's no way this insane won't be able to pick it. So,
well, Nordum's not going to give it to Talon because just met Talon, a couple cycles ago. Valerius, he still doesn't trust you to just go around and sell it to someone.
He trusts me not to sell it more than he trusts you not to sell it.
I mean, that's a valid point, actually.
Yeah, or your track record of things overpowering you.
I was susceptible to one thing. One thing.
Yeah, that's a track record.
You're just bitter that I stole it from you in the first place.
And then Faye's Norm felt like was the least likely to be either use it or do something with it or be affected by it.
Yeah.
Did we ever unpackage kind of what your relationship with your god is now? Did that ever get kind of hashed out? Are you on timeout?
I'm not in timeout, but I'm in the corner.
You're in the corner, but you're like in the corner. That way.
I definitely did have. If you had killed Crooked Horn, you would have been in the doghouse for permanently.
Really?
Crooked Horn?
Yeah. So
what?
He's a Garbo. Boy. What?
No, but he's evil. Forwarding the agenda of Braylon, perhaps. He's
Kirsten. So there was a conversation that Crooked Horn didn't have with Nordum that I was gonna bring up if it was convenient. But basically, it's the War of a Thousand Dragons isn't about Iridinium, right? Mm-hmm. It's about religion and greed and
I've read
ancient,
the Crusades.
And ancient grievances. These two people hate each other. And the God of Justice, who's Braylon, absolutely wants the God of Death to just be fucking kicked out of... He wants him gone for sure.
It's not very justice of him.
God's a god.
But justice for who?
Justice is a...
It can't be one-sided.
You're a god.
Very subjective.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, Skalgar isn't the god. He's not like the Grim Reaper. Mm-mm. Like, he gains his power from death. Faye's power is the one who is pretty much the Grim Reaper and takes people to the next realm.
Skull so, is just Skulger, like, oh, you died. Power.
Mm-hmm. Power. Yeah, exactly.
Let me get a sip of that.
Yeah. That instant so of death justice. Is what he gets. And that's, mm-hmm. I know, like, when I was creating Faye, that was, I was trying to decide of, like, if that. It was the caretaker or the diamond dragon that I wanted to, like, I know I asked you, I badgered you so hard for those, so many times about this.
Yeah, it was good, though.
Just to get, like, a better understanding of who they were in comparison to each other. And I liked the, and I mean, death is death, so death is neutral as well, but I liked the potential neutrality of, like, the Grim Reaper, like, Shepherd, right? So.
Yeah.
Do we got a god of war?
Yep, kind it's Lokor.
Lokor, yeah.
Yeah, he's the god of battle, not necessarily war.
Okay.
And he explains it that, like, nature battles every day, right? Like, animals fighting each other, and predator and prey type deal. It's not war, it's just the act of fighting, essentially.
Yeah, the way that Corpse Paint kind of believed in it is just more believing in the power of just atrophy, because it's a force that is prevalent in all things. That whole adage of, like, you can't have growth without destruction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And it's sort of, that's more like how Corpse Paint viewed it, I think, but we didn't really get too much into the religion side of it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, every religion has a zealot of their own, right? So there's going to be people who take it to the extremes. Like Arden Crookedhorn.
Question. Would that have only been the result for Nornim being in trouble if he was the one that landed the killing blow? Or if we killed him, he would be in trouble?
No, if Nordum killed Crookedhorn, then he'd be in trouble. Okay.
Does that include if I cut the hole in the floor and he fall to his death?
Yeah, we've been over this. Indirectly trying to kill someone, still trying to kill someone.
If I burn down his house and he dies, is that my fault?
Yeah.
Yes.
Love it.
Got a nice big scar in his face, too.
Yeah, I'll get that. He's got good art. Is there anything else that anyone's curious about?
I think we'll find out in season 2.
Yeah. I think it's just gonna be a matter of waiting to see kind of like who survives, who comes up where, prior decisions coming to haunt us, kind of thing.
Yeah. So again, we're starting that TBD, but somewhere in the early new year, probably February, March type deal.
Okay.
And then in the interim, we're going to do some like fireside chats. We've got a couple small mini series coming out, one of which is hosted by
Chris.
What?
I did what?
Yeah, I think Canute's still deciding, but we were thinking maybe First Age. First Age of Lazor?
Yeah, it's probably First Age.
Yeah. Yep.
Could be something far, far east.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't explored that region of Lator, so get a little mini series out somewhere there.
Cool.
Big time.
Cool.
So you guys can all look forward to that.
In these fireside chats, are we gonna like talk about cultures that are existing in the world and stuff like that? Or
yeah, honestly, I would love to do a deep dive on like Lator lore and
hashtag Lordom.
Hell yeah.
And Emily just said Lator.
Nice. Oh my god.
Talking about like DM player strategies, maybe we'll have some podcast chats.
Yeah, hoping to reach out to some podcasts and get some cross collaborations.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And one shots galore, so
yeah,
look forward to that.
Absolutely.
All right.
Kyle, no yawning.
See you guys next time.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Kyle's fired.
Thanks everyone for a wonderful season one.
Thank you for season one, everyone.
Thanks for listening.